Blog Talk Radio.
From experience, and I'm also speaking from being able to tell you that it's real.
Everybody has to have a core. There's something that drives me. There's something that is bigger than ourselves.
Are you kidding me? Did you really just come at me like that? You will be eliminating the people that just don't have no business coming in your direction in the first place by the way you carry yourself, the way that you speak, and everything like that. So all you're doing is eliminating and inviting the correct people in your life.
No. We want to hear the difference.
Where do y'all want to go with this? You're talking children. You're talking relationships. You're talking all kinds of things. And it blows my mind, man.
Tell you rap, nigga.
niggas, I have no friends. You still acting up. Running around here like some brand new pussy that's about to get fucked. The game don't stop. I'm still getting down for whatever, whenever. That's why my shit is hot. Can't keep it real. Now, some of us do, but most of us don't. That's just how a nigga feels. I shed blood for my people that'll keep you looking see-through. If ever you try to creep through.
Once again, I want to welcome everyone to the Man Up Talk Show. It's yours truly, Mr. Nass, and we're going to get in hard with this topic here. Ride or die. But before we go into the topic, we're going to, first of all, do the round table. Big shout out once again. I got my main man, holding it down for Virginia, holding it down, my brother Eddie. What's going on, big dog?
What's going on, man? Good evening.
Good evening, brother. Good evening. No doubt. Also, we got my brother Darryl, Big D, calling shortly to the line. So big shout out to the one and only brother, Darryl Harrington. Can't also forget about my brother Hakshon Black, my man. Well, he's listening, but he should be tuning in. I know he's working now, but he's working on checking. All right, can't forget about the brothers, the one and only Tom Reynolds, the prestigious sound niggas, I call them, the president of the NAACP chapter out of Montclair, New Jersey. And, of course, I can't forget out my man, Brother DeLacy Davis, one of the strongest brothers I know out here holding it down. Yeah, but tonight is special, man. We're going to be going in. Tonight's topic is ride or die. We're going to talk about the myths, the lies, you know, just perceptions as these motorcycle clubs is out here, you know, and also the riders and the dangers, everything that's associated with it, and also the news that surrounded the recent event that happened in New York when that young man was ran over by that the driver who said he was fearing for his life with his family. And it's very controversial. There's two sides to the coin, I always believe. But, you know, we definitely want to hear from the bikers, because the bikers want to have their say, because, you know, it left a bad taste in everybody's mouth as far as how bikers are perceived or even riding in general, man. So with that being said, brother, how was your week? Let's go there.
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait till it's over. I'm off. I'm going on a day and a half. I haven't slept. Unfortunately, today at my job, I dozed off while standing up and caught myself while hitting a chair while looking over somebody's shoulder. while looking over somebody's shoulder, yeah, dozed off like that. And played that junk off. I ruined it by telling everybody now, but I played it off like I tripped over the carpet. It was me hitting the chair and catching myself on the chair while the lady was in it and scared the mess out of her. I need some sleep. When I'm done with this show, I'm taking a nap. You know, I got to go to work tonight too, but I'm gonna try to catch up on rest this weekend.
I know that's right, man. Hey, listen, but while we got you online, I believe before we go to my brother, but I want to introduce, of course, we got a special thing going on tonight after this show. For those just tuning in the Mail Talk Show, we have the official kickoff. We said the pilot show, but we changed the kickoff. The ladies are taking it, running with it. The Every Woman talk show started. The response is ridiculous. That's just an understatement. And I believe we got Sig online right now. Sister Sig, what's going on?
Hello, how are you guys?
How you doing? What's going on? How you feeling today, sister? Yeah. You ready for the next part of the show? You ready?
I am super excited, man. I think I told people on train I didn't know about the show. I was handing out the number like I was a public announcement.
I mean, it's been crazy. I mean, what I'm talking about,
you know, I mean, but you know, I can't even get mad. I'm a little jealous, but it's all good because it's all family. Before we go any further, I believe I got my brother Darryl, Big D, in the building. What's up, brother?
Yes, sir. Online and on deck.
Okay. What's going on, Big Dog?
Man, like I said, it's been a crazy.
You're breaking up a little bit.
Can you hear me?
You're not loud. You're good, brother.
All right, it's been like a crazy week. There's work and all that. There's business stuff I got going on the side. And then this every woman thing just done blown up and it's taking over the Carter.
Yeah. That's an understatement, man. I mean, they already got like 100 people already liked the page within 24 hours. That's crazy.
Yeah, man.
24 hours.
It's been more bad. Applause on that for sure.
Yeah, definitely. But you know, I really want to delve into this topic, brother. I think we have a couple of guests coming on tonight to talk about this topic. So let's delve into it right away, because I know we just pressed for time. I want to make sure we honor the time with the ladies coming on and Brother Eddie getting the rest, of course. So let's do this topic. And Zig, I definitely want to hear your perspective on this one. You know, let's talk about bikers. Let's just talk about bikers in general. But, you know, personally, I want one. You know, I ain't trying to break the sound barrier. I want one. But, you know, my missus got something to say about it. At least until I signed the insurance. So there's some things got to be done first. But, however, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions. There's a lot of why does a person want to get a bike? Let's first attack that. I mean, I don't know. I don't have a bike. I don't know anybody else on this panel has a bike. I'm talking about a motorcycle, not one of those 10 speeds or mountain bikes. Clarify that so somebody's being smart ass and calling in and be like, "Well, you don't got a bike, player." So what does a person want to get a bike? You want to be fine. So let's. So, Sig, let's go into that. What makes a person want to get a bike?
It was the environment. And growing up in Chicago, my neighborhood, there were a lot of bikers. And my mom said, "Do not get your little ass on a bike." I said, "Okay." And went the next day and told one of the guys, "You know, you've got to teach me how to ride." He goes, "I'm scared of your mom." I said, "You need to be scared of me." He taught me how to ride. Love it.
Oh.
Think it's the bomb. It's safety first, of course. But the thing, I stopped riding because I had kids and I had boys. And I feel like I can't tell them, "No, you can't have a bike if mom's got a Ducati parked in the driveway."
Mm-hmm.
The bad part is my ex-husband knew I rode. He also knew that was my secret. I'm very open book to my kids. I'm no surprise to them. But he decided to tell them. So my mini-me goes, when he was 14, "Mom, I want a motorcycle." And I go, "No." He said, "You rode?"
Oh. You trying to tell me snitch, don't you?
Yeah. So I was like, you know, okay, I wasn't prepared for that battle, but since, you know, we're here, you're going to have to learn how to ride the proper way. You can ride a 10-speed. Yay, I'm proud of you for that. You've got to do three-wheelers. You've got to do the ATVs. You're going to have to do off-road bikes. You're going to have to do cross-country bikes. You're going to do everything I can find on two wheels before you get on a motorcycle. I'm thinking this is going to deter him. He will be getting his motorcycle license next year.
Wow.
So, I was like, I can't believe you told. He goes, "I was in trouble with him. I didn't have anything to say. It came out."
So you had to just let it out. I mean,
I don't know, he threw me under the bus.
Eddie, I know you want to bite. You know, you had that rebellion.
No, you don't. I don't.
Can I take it back?
No, not interested.
So we can
to come back to that one.
Oh, my God.
We'll come
Edward,
back to scary.
Are you afraid?
Oh,
hell no.
Oh, no, I'm not afraid. I'm not interested.
But you didn't get permission.
You said what?
You didn't get permission?
Nah, I mean, I got a lot of my frat brothers, they ride bikes. I was even asked to be in a bike club. I'm like, I don't want a motorcycle, and I ain't really interested. He said, sounds chicken. Now, see, you know you're going to mess around and have me driving the motorcycle just to show you, and then just don't do it anymore.
I know.
Oh, man.
So,
wow.
Listeners, Eddie is really afraid to ride a bike. He told me. He confessed.
No, it's all good, brother. It's all good. I don't like crashing neither. So, Big D, you went to the motorcycle mall this week.
Yes, sir.
Did you want to tell the listeners a little bit what's happening, what's going on, what was their input? And, you know, I know they're going to chime in later on about the ride or die and some of the news with the motorcycles.
Absolutely. I'm waiting for Rich to call in from the motorcycle mall. That's 571 Washington Avenue in Bellevue, New Jersey. It's the largest motorcycle outfitter in Essex County, New Jersey. So, you know, stop by and show them brothers some love. They showed us some love earlier this week. We went by to have a conversation about motorcycles, motorcycling, those who come in, who participate, who buy. Also checked out a bike or two myself, you know, because, yeah, look, there's something to be said when you want to be by your damn self. I don't want you or anybody else next to me. I don't want nobody messing with my knobs. I don't want nobody messing with the radio. I just need some solitude by myself. That's A to point B. I just need to be by myself and just in my own zone. And a bike does that for you. Now, am I one of those fools that want to go ahead and ride a bike in January? You know, ice and knees sliding all across the highway? No, absolutely not. But, you know, a nice hot June day, you know, go down to the shore, go here, go there, by my lonesome, there ain't nothing wrong with that. So, I have absolutely nothing wrong with it. I went to vocational school when I was in high school, and the vocation that I had was fixing bikes. So I've always been a bike enthusiast, you know, since I was a teenager. So went there, checked out some bikes, you know, talked to the brothers that were there, and about, you know, the things that they do, and it was fascinating. Because most of the people who are buying bikes, I mean, the soccer moms, you know, the dudes are just rocking their regular 9-to-5. You know, instead of trying to pay $29,000 for a car, you know, I'll pay $12,000 for the bike. And I'll still get myself where I need to go to, you know, in the speed and luxury for which I feel accustomed. So, you know, that's pretty much a lot of the reasons why. A lot of guys, you know, in our area buy bikes. Also, you know, we want to give a shout-out, you know, to the North Knights. They've also been helpful. Hopefully one of the brothers will give us a call. Now,
North Knights,
671 Springfield Avenue in North New Jersey. You know, give them brothers some love. They've been 41 years in the game since 1972. They've been doing their thing. Now, like I said, ever since that incident, maybe let's not get ahead of ourselves, because we also might want to talk about the incident that happened this past September.
All right, okay.
In New York. If we want to talk about it, we can go there. Or we can talk about some of the positive things that a lot of these motorcycle clubs do, you know, within our community.
Let's figure this out now. I mean, do we want to address the news thing, and then we go into the as far as the positives that motorcycle clubs bring to our respective communities?
Oh, sure, let's do that. All right, like I said, you know, I want everybody to chime in now. I mean, like I said, I'm going to put the brothers, you know, to call in and call through. Hope that they can make it on time because, like I said, our show tonight is a little abbreviated than what it normally is.
You're breaking up a little bit.
Okay, I said I hope that the brothers can call in.
You check your line. You're breaking up a touch bit.
All
right. Nice, sounds good on my end.
Okay.
I got you loud and clear now.
All right, can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you want, I could go to a landline and do it. I could call in again. But here we go. So if you want to talk about positive things that some of these organizations do, I'll stick with the North Knights. The North Knights do Toys for Tots. The North Knights do a clothing drive annually for local shelters. They do HIV awareness. They host a Children's Day celebration. They do Bikers Against Breast Cancer, Bikers Against Diabetes. Like I said, this organization has been around since 1972. It annually, they constantly show up all the time. Brothers are like North PD, they're school teachers, they're just average brothers in the community like me. And what are they trying to do? They're just trying to represent and make their community better through something they happen to love and enjoy, and that happens to be buying motorcycles. That's it. Ain't no gang, ain't no wild affiliation, you know, there's no wild initiation. It's just a group of brothers who got love for where they come from, they love to ride, and they like to do it for a cause and a purpose. Gotta love that. Much love to the North Knights. Nass?
I'm here. I can speak for, I can't speak for them, but I've observed my frat brother here in Virginia. They have a motorcycle club called the Wise Guys, and I've seen them, they give out scholarships, like 3 scholarships a year. To students. They do all kinds of fundraisers and giving back to community. Of course, they have their parties and stuff like that, but if I'm not mistaken, there is like a process. You have your dues and kind of like a fraternity. It's kind of like a fraternity, meaning there is a pledging process or a process that you got to go through before you become official or what have you. But like I said, I kind of equate it to a fraternity in the same manner that you stated. They have just one common goal or purpose that they all agree upon on top of the motorcycling, but that's usually what kind of gels them together or their most passionate common interest. And from there, they have principles and stuff that they live by in their fraternity type organization. If you will, and it's very positive.
Okay.
Totally agree. I totally agree. There is some people want to put a negative stigma on a group of people based upon an isolated incident.
Oh, exactly. And okay. What I say to that is, it's no different from a fraternity. Based on the fraternities, they're created for positive reasoning or positive causes or what have you. But
right.
You're gonna experience chapters that are known to just be thugs and do their thing and kind of mess it up for the others. Which in turn, which you do find out from being in the fraternity that you kind of no longer have your identity. You're just considered that Q, that alpha, that iota, that whatever, whenever you do anything. Whenever a crowd of your bros, like if I'm at a party and we all got on our colors and our jackets and stuff like that, and something break out, and most of my bros either go over there to help out or break it up, it's going to be those iotas are fighting. Was I fighting? No. But I'm guilty by association. So. It's the same concept here with the motorcycle club.
Right,
absolutely.
Right, right.
Absolutely. I mean, it said it's guilt by association. It's, you know, if what if you were involved, that means all of you.
And does the media make a big spectacle about the community service events and stuff like that? No.
Are they gonna
bring to the news the negative stuff? Yes, most definitely, because that's what sells. Just think about your reality shows and all that stuff like that. That's the stuff that's gonna give you ratings. That's the stuff that's gonna cause people to tune into your station, your channel. So they're going to amplify that, the negativity, and cause and influence even people's decision about your ministry, your organization, or whatever it is that you do.
Now, let me ask you a question. I'm glad you said that, Brother Eddie. You know, the media, especially the media, with this latest news thing, I'm kind of out of coattail Brother Dow was saying. You know, the media over in New York, you know, forgive me, Dow, you got the name of that gentleman? The biker who got ran over?
The name of the biker who got ran over, and he's the person that's always constantly forgotten about. That was
Edward. Thank you.
The person everybody talks about is Alexian Lin. That's the guy, that's the Oriental gentleman who was harassed by a group of bikers, allegedly harassed by a group of bikers, and then definitely ran over Mr. Mize with his SUV, crushing him, and he's going to be a paraplegic for the rest of his life. The trial for the men who were involved in the chase of Mr. Lin, they're going to grand jury in February. So, for those who, you know, who have not necessarily followed this, this is just a quick synopsis. It's pretty much off the top of my head for all intended purposes. But, you know, I jotted some stuff down, you know, over the time, because we were supposed to do this show like a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
Mr. Lin was driving on the Henry Hudson Parkway when he was surrounded by when he came into the midst of a motorcycle rally. It wasn't a sanctioned rally. It was a group of bikers who all, for whatever reason, decided to Manhattan that day, and they were all on the Henry Hudson Parkway. Now, Mr. Lin bumped into the back of a bike of one of the bikers. And then that set off a chain reaction of a group of guys who were coming around surrounding him. He got nervous. He ran off. They chased him. Once they chased him, they caught up to him. The incident ensued again. He takes off. Then when he takes off the next time, that's when he crushes Mr. Mize. He runs over him, and then they all pursue him again. And then when they catch him this time, they proceed to beat on the SUV, pull him out of the SUV, and then they attacked him on the street. It was all caught on camera, and you know, several different people caught it from either cell phones or camera phones. And like I said, there's several men who've been indicted with this. Reginald Chance, Craig Wright, a New York City police detective, Wojcik Boski is also going to the grand jury. James Krunick, Mr. Clint Caldwell. There's a whole group of, those are just five or six names of people who were indicted over the fight that ensued after Mr. Lin crushed Mr. Mize. So that's pretty much the soup and nuts of it. And depending on where you hear it, if you hear it on, let's say, the Amsterdam News, it sounds one way. If you hear it on the New York Times, it sounds another way.
Well, I definitely, you know, here's what I would like to do, if you guys don't mind. I want to take a brief interlude, but when we come back, I really want to address, you know, all right, first of all, when I last checked, hit and run is a crime. I mean, regardless if they fear for their life, I mean, they said there was tax. I mean, was any camera showing the tap of the motorcycle. Two, he ran over the person. He left the crime scene. He left the crime scene. Regardless of right, wrong, right, or indifferent, he left the crime scene. He physically took his vehicle, ran over a person. Over a person. That was never even brought to the table. I want to, when we come back for this short brief music interlude, I want to address that and say, you know, I'm not sure as far as, you know, with your background, if that's anything that you can probably chime on from a legal standpoint, because I'm very curious about that part. And like, you know, Brother Darrell said, no one's talking about this young man who's paralyzed, wrong, right, or indifferent. You know, these guys who's coming to their brethren or their brother defense because this man got ran over and he drove off. They went to stop him. Hey, look, you ran over a man. We're stopping you. You basically killed my man. So it's different sides to this. I really want to hear everybody's input on this one. So can we go to a brief interlude, maybe about 2 minutes, and come right back?
Sounds great. Right.
All right, sounds good. So we're going to go into a little Buster. I want to thank you.
Yo, this Birdman, Cash Money, Young Money. Believe that.
StunnerLife.com.
Where you deposit young money and you get cash money. I'm Tunchy the Boss. And live from the vault, it's Busta Bus.
Yeah. Swag mania, pop the ghost most. Carry the most beautiful bitches with us, happily toast. Keep the faculty close, gross when we give them a dose. Got them OD and leaning in each coast. Scenery froze, take notes, rock boats, diamonds that fit us. Chanel minks in the winter, who fucking with us? We coming to give them the shivers. Water we flow, spilling like rivers. Flood in the street, hoping niggas and swimmers moving gorillas. King Kong, Godzilla's when we roll up. Seat filling niggas, get up when
shit.
I show up.
Please don't throw up, hold your liquor, girl up. If you robbing niggas, we gon' show you how to blow up. Thank your lucky stars, it's the rap dog. Tuck your shit in, my niggas bite like a rent in. Thin my chagrin, you never win. Model thin, walking cracking your shin. She gives in every time that I spin. Square up, bow down to the kings of the hall. We way gone, talk shit while we ball. So what's cracking with y'all?
Native New Yorker, the slick talker, teach it in order. Call a reporter, stepping like British walkers. Legendary swag fluent, see the influence, see how we do it. Get them into it steadily, got them stupid, so undisputed. Act full, back tool, till they pop off. Police crowd up the street, blocking them off, locking them off. Got these niggas wildin' while I signal my soldiers. Bossing it up, maintaining composure, stand on the sofa. 30 bottles, 20 waitresses, bring them over. See how we light up shit, nigga, call a promoter. Tell that nigga, bring the bag, better hurry up with it and count the money you're proper, cause you can get it.
Yeah, it feel good, don't it? It feel good, don't it? Hey, I wanna let y'all know. Hey, I wanna let y'all know. This Jeezy, and you listening to Q-Tip. Set him up, stiletto up, saddle up and let's go. Good times, only difference niggas making it, yo. Chatter is up, peep the way we batter it up. On top of the mountain, folding the ladder up. You're dead and done, rip up your paper cause your status is none. Transfixed on the sphinx of the page. Whether chopper or gauge, you're just a single cause you wouldn't engage. Turned up with the script on the cup, you keep the goblins with us.
See how we push, sometime my mind forget cough. Beat him in the head, boop-a-dee-dee-bop, zippity-boop. Beat him in the head again, stop killing me, wolf. Wop, beat a nigga till he drop, piggity-poof. Oxy and me puss, you don't want no problem with niggas. Fuck it, let's get to drinking poison our livers. Damn it, we sinners. When me and Abstract together, see we deliver. She got me touching it, fucking all on my fingers. Damn it, we winners. Pillars of this rap shit, homie, they know. Kill anything till it's time for me to go. That's when I bomb it with a blowing and a black and get a little bit dummy. The microphone is bleeding, you should take it from me.
Incredibly, we do it in the resume. The music, I tune it, YouTube it. It can never ever be refuted. It's naughty for niggas and naughty for ninas. Bitches and ballerinas, ballers and in between is blatant non-believers and overachievers. Kicking it in Pele Adidas, drink gallons of liters. All of you must reconcile a leader. She's begging to eat us. And her man's attitude defeaters, but never a scandal, because me and Buster grown to handle it, gentlemen.
Not to mention me veteran, taking me some medicine. For our black, you should get off my premises. Better fly, you pelican, idiot-ass niggas. But then again, you need a suit for your funeral measurements. See, we doing it effortless. It's never getting no better than this. Giving you shit that you miss, a better preference. Watch me turn them to skeletons. See how I come and bring out the betterness. Thomas with it, I rep it forever. This line, United Emirates. Size, private plane, that kind of etiquette. Purchasing diamonds, handle them delicate. Now you need you a better ref. You can peep us regular, and see we all in this bitch like we ain't ever left. Never left.
Woo! Buster just went in. Buster. Once again, we're back with the Man Up Talk Show. We with the panel. We having a good time tonight. With a lot of things going on. But those just tuning in, the Man Up Talk Show tonight is Ron and Don. We going in on a topic that surrounded recently New York. The reason I kind of attacked this a little bit before we bring in the premiere of the Every Woman Talk Show tonight, of course, is going down. And on the panel tonight, we got the one and only brother Edward L. Fairley, Sister Sig, one of the main co-hosts of this show coming into the next hour. And, of course, my brother Dal Harrington, and, of course, big shout-out to Hassan Black, can't forget about brother Tom Reynolds, and brother Delancey Davis. We keep things moving. Now, getting back to the topic, I'm going to swing you right directly in. You know, what happened to the victim? Let me rephrase that, because according to the media and the courts, the victim is the driver. However, someone got ran over, paralyzed for life.
Right.
My last check, hit and run is illegal. This man, if no one would ask this man to stop this man, he'd have been gone, straight up. So let's just go. Let's go in.
All right. Now, like I said, this is all opinion. This is solely my opinion. It's got nothing to do with law, right or wrong. Well, actually, it does to me. It does have to do with right or wrong. There is a certain moral issue in this. I believe that this man, because he's Latino, I believe because this man was with a group of his friends who people depict the group activity that he was involved in as being lawless.
Mm.
His life and his livelihood, the care that he's going to need for the rest of his life, where's that going to come from? The enormous amount of medical bills that he's going to just to be able to have, just to be able to sit in a chair and suck stuff through a straw without being able to have the activity of his limbs, that, for some reason, doesn't even get a peep, a word. That, to me, is disgusting. That, to me, is absolutely crazy. I understand being afraid of something and of someone. I think we've all been afraid before. Gotcha. But the circumstances, going back and watching that film, one person was getting out and he was about to yell at the man. You're in your SUV. You're in a very heavy fiberglass laden vehicle. Unless they took out the helmet and tried to bash in the windshield like they did when they really wanted to get you out of the car, nothing was going to happen. What was going to happen? He's going to spit in your windshield, maybe. What was the possible outcome? What were you? I mean, you overreacted. You tore off past the first two people, and then the man who got crushed, who had no affiliation with the person you bumped, had no affiliation with any of the brethren who happened to come along afterwards after seeing this, went after him, pursued him, grabbed him, and drug him out in the street and proceeded to beat his ass. Had no affiliation with any of them. But yet, this man is going to be paralyzed for the rest of his life. Not only did you destroy his life, his livelihood, but you also did that for his young son that he has.
That's right.
His father is going to interact with him in the manner in which young men need their fathers to interact with them. His wife is going to not be able to have her husband in the manner for which she married him. God bless her. God bless them both. Bow safe for better or for worse. May God strengthen them through the worst and see them through that. This man's mother has to deal with her child now not being able to take care of himself similarly to the way he was when he was a little baby. These are things that, you know, he's going to have constant medical care. He's going to have constant surgery after surgery after surgery for the rest of his life. And nobody thinks that this matters because somebody got their behind beat. I've gotten my behind beat before. I'm pretty sure most of us I've gotten my behinds beat before. It's not enjoyable, no, but, you know, you get over it. A black eye, a busted lip, you know, maybe some stitches every once in a while. You'll get over it. That man is not going to get over it.
Yeah, I'll take your line, brother. Take your line.
Yeah, do you hear me now?
Yeah, your line was a little shaky right there. Yeah, but just those just tuning in, Brother Darryl was basically explaining the lost perspective on this man who's got ran over. Online now, we have Jackie that will be on the next show following. What's up, Jackie? You want to chime in for the show first shortly? What's going on, Jackie?
Hey, how is everybody? How are you? How are you? How are you? Good, good, good. I have been listening, and, you know, a lot of the same points of view that I had, you know, have been discussed. It's interesting how things seem to be unbalanced, to put it nicely, how one person walks away completely destroyed for the rest of their life, and it seems as if somebody else gets a slap on the wrist. How does that work out that way?
Okay, can I chime in on a legal point?
I'm waiting to go, period.
Okay, let me slap the legal out there real quick. First of all, I support bikers, everything that they do. I love that they do what they do. But what's happening in this situation is the Mr. Lean may not be charged because he feared for his life. Now, he bumped the guy, and they pulled him out. Wait a minute. He bumped the guy. They pulled him out. All that happened. And then he tried to leave the scene. The bikers, and while we were on break, I viewed the video to make sure I still had it right in my mind, chased him. They proceeded to chase him and beat up his car. He feared for his life and his wife was he stopped. That is how the other guy ended up being ran over. From a legal standpoint, he may not be charged with the crime. What should happen is it should be a civil suit.
Hey, hold on. Mm-hmm. When he got drug out of the car was after he ran over the guy, not before. It was
I understand what you're saying. I understand. That's emotion, and that's human, and I get that. Because when I looked at it, that's the first thing I thought. I had to go back and look at the whole video. The thing is, they pulled him out of the car because he ran the guy over, but he would have never had an opportunity to run the guy over had they not surrounded his vehicle after he got back in his vehicle and proceeded to beat on his vehicle. The law becomes really, really technical and really, really sticky when you're trying to say, oh, wait a minute, did they do this? Did this happen? That happened? What happened? Why is he not being charged? Again, legally, I don't see them bringing charges against him. I would be totally surprised if they did. What the family needs to do is bring a civil suit.
Right. Mm. That's what I was going to ask.
They can bring a civil suit. The burden of proof totally switches when it comes to the civil suit. But legally, he feared for his life. He tried to get away from the scene. They had his truck surrounded and was still beating on his truck when he got back in his truck. His life was still in danger.
Now, I'm glad you said that. I have a quick question. I know Brother Eddie, we pressed the time. I want to get Eddie in there. Now, my understanding, New York doesn't really have a quote-unquote self-defense law. I believe you have the right to, escape a situation. I'm not sure if I'm saying it correct. I'm almost sure that New York doesn't have a self-defense law.
What comes into play is how much fear did he reasonably have? And he feared for his life, so he was trying to
see. So it was basically a judgment call on that person's part to kind of assess the situation that they're in and what they should do at that moment?
No, it's not a judgment call. If somebody's beating the hell out of you, you get back in your truck, you're going to try to take off. You're not going to think at that time, oh, my God, let me move and maneuver around these people who got my truck surrounded. Everything is reaction at that point. So my life is in danger, and I'm not going to lie. You surround my truck. And let's back that up. You surround my truck, commence the beating on my truck. I don't have a weapon on me. I'm going to take off. If you're in the way, you brought that on yourself.
Okay,
my life is in danger. My spouse's life is in danger. It's what he reasonably believed was happening to him is where the law comes into play and whether or not he would be charged. Looking at the tape, I thought his life was in danger. They surrounded him, and this bike club has a reputation and a history of being rowdy and unruly when they ride. They make this an annual ride for them, which is what a lot of bikers do. They make these annual rides, and at the end of their trip, they do different things. This club is out of control. And like any other situation where if you have really good things going on with certain organizations, you have those that are going to do stuff that's going to be totally off the chain. This club has a reputation and a history. Prior to that happening, several 911 calls were made complaining about the way the riders were riding before the incident, right before the incident.
Good point.
You know, when you ride your bike and then you got the crowd mentality, you're going to go with the flow. Situation totally out of control and out of hand.
That was good. That was great. Now, see, that's part that we really need to hear. Brother Eddie, we're being pressed for time, but I will definitely want to hear your part on this one, brother.
I think the victim is the driver. I saw that video I don't know how many times, and I would have did the exact same thing. I look at everything. I watch everything. First of all, the first thing I'm watching is who's recording it. One of the bikers. One of the bikers is recording the whole thing, which in turn to me just screams we're harassing the guy. It wasn't just a random person that recorded it. It was one of the bikers, which in turn normally says, "What we did to this dude today, da 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 da." That's my first thing. Two, the only reason why he got hit is because he was in front of the vehicle. Why? Because they were surrounding the dude. If they wanted to just take a bike ride, they would have moved out of the way, let him go on about his business and do and ride together like some people state or feel that they were just doing. So the whole bump thing that I'm hearing the thing that initiated the whole thing, that's speculative. I have yet to see where he started the whole thing by bumping somebody. So that's something what people are saying. I'm basing everything that I'm saying or my decisions on this recording, which, again, is from the biker. The bikers are recording, and they got the camera in front of the guy's vehicle. I even saw another vehicle they allowed to go by. So they were, if you look at the camera, there's another vehicle that was allowed to go through. So they're clearly directing whatever they're doing to this one vehicle. Where it came from, again, I didn't see anything that happened prior to, but I did see the recording from that guy. I would have done the same exact thing. Y'all won't let me go by, and y'all taunting me and all that stuff like that, I'm running over whoever's in front of me. I'm not thinking about any of that other stuff. And in the end, it was the person's decision to be in front of my car as a blockade or to try to slow me down so that y'all could do whatever it is that y'all want to do. It was your decision to be in front of the car, not the dude's decision to just take off and haphazardly, and whoever was in the way was in the way. It was because of the scenario that he was put in, not that he wanted to be in. He was forced in. They surrounded him on purpose. So they got what came to them based on the decision that they made. So I do not feel that the guy that got ran over is the victim. I think the guy that ran over the guy was the victim. That's my personal opinion. It's just crazy to me because I'm going to be the same way all across the board. We can't say that the law is such and such, but then we need to abide by the law, hit and run and all this stuff like that. But when they take the guy out of the car and beat him up, he should have got what he deserved. That's not the law. The law says that we let law enforcement take care of whatever. So we're talking about hit and run, take his license down, report it. That's the law. I don't see how you can go with the law on one side, but on the same exact situation, we decide, well, he needed his ass beat. No, it doesn't work that way. You're either going to be for the law or you're going to be against the law. So based on what I see, and I hope everybody that's watching, before we just hear stuff and make a decision, watch that whole thing and come to your own conclusion, because I personally feel that guy was a victim. I don't see anywhere where that guy just decided to run somebody over or whatever, and we can't blame it on race because they all had helmets on, so we can't say it was a whole bunch of black dudes that scared me to death or whatever. Everybody had on helmets. You can't call it a race thing. It was just, what in the world? I mean, it was crazy. So I would have done the same exact thing and would have been fine with the results. I'm just calling it the way I see it. I would have been perfectly fine. I would have slept pretty fine at night.
You know, I'm glad you said that, because a lot of times if we was all facing that situation, what would you do? Your kids in the car, your wife, your kids, your mother, whatever. You know, if
it's
you had
to
lose
to be judgmental when you're watching a video.
I mean, you feel bad for the gentleman. There's some other issues. I'm glad Dick brought it to the forefront. There is called a civil suit, and that's up to a judge to make that decision, or should there be some damages paid, you know. But that's for the courts. It has to play out.
I think that when you sit back and you're watching things, it's easy to say, oh, I would have did this or I should have did that. You really don't know what you're going to do until you're facing that situation.
I really know if you surround my vehicle with it, I'm about to find out if I can bowl with my damn truck.
But, you know, when I say that in the sense of people say, oh, he could have done this, he could have done that, he didn't necessarily have to do that. What I'm saying is, if you're rational enough and you're thinking and you're taking that much time to think, but if you're feeling that your life is in danger, you're going to do what you feel you need to do.
The way this guy was surrounded, I would have ran their ass over in a zigzag so I could have taken more of them out.
You're kind of surrounded by your circumstance. Your circumstance, pulled your out.
Did you just say zigzag? You walk around anybody else's truck and try to put them in fear of you because you ride a damn motorcycle. You gonna get God and you gonna think y'all gonna give you something to think about. They were the damn police.
And you literally see them slowing down the progress of the traffic and everything like that. Get the I ain't trying to hear that.
I'm running your ass over and I'm telling God they brought it on themselves.
I would have had a monster truck session.
I'm trying to tell you.
With that being said, I just think that it's a level of responsibility of the motorcycle club and how they ride, you know, and understanding that, you know, because not all motorcycle clubs act the way these gentlemen did.
Absolutely.
You know, like, they have a lot of great motorcycle, responsible ones. And guys who's professional robot bikes.
And unfortunately, this tarnishes all of them. It bands them all together as to this is what they all do. When you hear the word motorcycle club, it's like, oh, they're all negative, and they're not.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them do great things in their community.
The biggest thing that people look for is the name of the club. I mean, before they do annual rides, they've got to let these people, they got to let the cities know, this is where I'm riding because I'm riding 50 deep, and this is where I'm riding, this is what we're doing. Of course, it's our annual ride. I don't think that they brought a bad thing for the clubs are no longer, oh my God, they ride a motorcycle. It becomes the name of the club itself. Because people were like, oh my God, these guys ride, this is their day to ride, oh hell, what's going to happen today? That's what it becomes. And then it's like, well, even if the club has done anything good, and this club has done some good, you don't know that because all you hear, as I look in the archives, all you hear is, oh, they people hate when they do their annual rides. They ride recklessly. They don't care. They act like they're on the road. They have no respect for anybody else. They're just out there. And so it's that club that becomes, no, I can't do that. So if anybody wanted to start their own club or do something different, they would think twice about it and not do it for the club.
Look, hey, I'll even do this for you guys.
Eddie, this has been a great show, but guys, we got to wrap this puppy up. Obviously, this is something we're going to definitely get the 2 hours on.
It's at least three minutes. Let me make this quick statement.
Eddie, we ain't got time. We can start this off next week. We can start this off next year. I feel your fire, baby. I feel your fire on this. But Friday's night. This Friday's night is ladies' night. So we got to get ready to wrap this up.
We got a whole 6 minutes, yo.
Eddie, we got to wrap up our show to start their show. So we got to wrap ours up. I'm sorry.
Y'all probably could have said something by now. Wonderful show, guys. Everybody was great. Final words. Let's make this go around the house. Final words. Wrap it up real quick. We got 40 seconds.
Eddie, make it under 60 seconds, please. We ain't got time for a diatribe.
It was gonna be under 60 seconds. We just used 60 seconds to say wrap it up.
Let it go.
What I was gonna say is, I give you this much. I say, let's say that the dude was bumped. If the dude was bumped and they quote unquote this great bikers club of our organization and stuff like that. Why not say, oh, he bumped me, dang, it clearly what he didn't mean it or whatever, and move on. Why did they feel the need to retaliate? And I'm gonna leave it at that. If there's such a great cause and a great organization, why did a bump cause everything that happened? It was a bump. Was it a hit? Like, I'm trying to kill you, or was it a bump? We say it was a bump. We try to make it seem innocent, and, like, they're all innocent. Why did it escalate to that? It was a bump. He didn't mean to do it.
Well, no, everybody's not innocent. But nobody's saying that everybody is innocent, Eddie. Nobody said that. You just did. But not everybody said that.
I made a statement. I'm just saying it sounded one sided in the beginning of the show to me. But we wrapping it up. That's all I had to say.
Archives. Y'all better listen to archives before we finish the show.
That's it. I'm done.
All right. Let's close it up.
But Eddie, you gotta stay off a little bit to support the ladies, brother. So, brother, let's really close it out. Hold up.
Put it down.
Yo, okay. So, basically, great show, wonderful show. Next week, we're coming live from Southern Comfort Cafe. It's a holiday party, 501 Central Avenue, Orange, New Jersey. Bring a toy. Come on, it's gonna be. Every woman is going to be man up. It's going to be game strong. It's going to be the whole Shadow World family. We're celebrating the holidays together. It's our last live show of 2013. Come on. Come out. Show up. Show out. Can't wait to see y'all there. That's all I got for this week. Good night, man.
Peace.
Relationships
are
just
people that are
just waiting for
something
better to come along.
Spoken like a cynic.
I'm not a cynic. I'm a realist.
You are a realist masquerading as a cynic who is secretly an optimist.
here? Let's be honest. Why are we here? There are some clear indications, and then there are some confusing indications. You can be in a relationship with somebody for a really long time, but the connection isn't there anymore, but you're still having sex. And he may just be there just for that, or she may be there just for that, but that connection is what's keeping us together. My job is to try to find the truth.
The truth.
Everybody say they want the truth. Everybody say they want real, but they want that shit sugar-coated and dipped in honey with strawberries all lined around it. And I don't own no... I do it free is how you deliver it. It really is how you deliver it. If you approach me wrong, I'm not going to receive it. Even when our parents used to yell at us, we shut down. We didn't always receive it because of the way it was delivered. How do you think a woman should put that to a man? How do you think that a woman should say to a man, this doesn't work for me? Or, you know, I'm not getting what I need from you. And I'm just so excited because tonight is the premiere of the Every Woman Talk Show. I am Natay, one of your co-hosts, and I am joined by a fantastic panel of women this evening. Uli, Signature, and Jackie, we're all sisters with different opinions. So for the next hour, we're going to talk about... Good evening, ladies.
Hello.
It is Friday, December 13th, and I'm just so excited because it's the premiere of the Every Woman Talk Show. And before we even get started, I just want to thank everybody out there for giving us so much love on Facebook, for blowing us up. To all of our West Coast and East Coast listeners, we just want to say thank you. I am Natay. I'm one of your co-hosts. And I am joined by a fantastic panel of women this evening. We got Uli, Signature, and Jackie, our girls, our divas out there on the line. Hi, ladies.
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening. So listen, for the next hour, we are going to have some dialogue, and we're going to ask some questions about what is the expiration date on your relationship. And we're going to talk about... different relationships. We're going to talk about family, romantic relationships, and, you know, work relationships. But before we get into all that, let me introduce these wonderful ladies to you. Where is Uli at? Is she on the line?
I am right here.
Hi, Uli.
Hey, Ray.
How you doing?
I'm great, honey. I'm great.
How was your day?
It was a crazy day, and I hate to break the news to you guys, but I'm not going to be on the air with you guys all night. Unfortunately, my job called me for a prior engagement, so I have to run out. But I'm coming back on. I'm just going to be gone for about 15 minutes.
Okay.
I just got to show my face. I got to show my face. And then I will be back to finish, you know, with you ladies. I'm so sorry. I was so excited about tonight. And then they came up with this one. So, got to go make the donuts.
Dad, make the donuts. I'll make the donuts. We got you covered. We got you covered. All right. Is Sig, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Hello.
Hey, Sig.
Hey, Sig.
So, Sig, introduce yourself. Tell them something about you.
Oh, I never do that. They'll get to know me.
They'll get you. Okay, I guess that's an introduction right there. And Jackie.
Hey, Jack.
Gee, how do you follow that? Exactly right.
You can't follow that, Jackie.
What?
Wait, it was a rough day today. I was, you know. Hello, everybody. How are you, ladies? How's your week? How is your day? What's going on, with you guys?
Good.
I'm so excited to be here with you guys all together. I think we have something wonderful and dynamic to bring, and I'm ready to jump in with both.
All right, Well, I am Natay, and let me just give you a little brief some intro. You know, I am back in New Jersey. I lived in L.A. Shout out to all our West Coast listeners. But I was
in
L.A. for the last 14 years.
Welcome back.
Thank you. But, you know, it was a little cold out, and so I have to get adjusted.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yes, the other day my car doors, they were frozen shut, and I'm not used to that anymore. So, you know, that's a little different. And in L.A., you know, we had the sandals on and all
that
type
of stuff.
Yeah,
but you're a Jersey girl. You know to go get that hot water. You're a Jersey girl in the heart.
I know. But, you know, it's an adjustment. But
yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, also I've been working on, you know, a new company that I have, and it's called I Ain't That
Shit. Wonderful.
Thank you, my dear. Thank you. And it's about empowering young girls and women. So, you know, to raise their level of expectation and to just not settle for any old thing. And primarily it's just to evoke dialogue and thought about some of the things that have become the norm today. And just to question, why are they the norm and do we keep them the norm? You know, how do you function with that? So pretty much that's what I've been doing. That's what I've been busy with.
Okay,
that's
wonderful.
Great.
Sounds great. I'm
going to
have to get with you about that.
That's
something I would love to support.
Get with me. And you guys, if anybody else wants to get with me, you can, you know, check us out on www.iainthatshit.com. And, you know, hit us up on Facebook and like our page. Let us know what you think.
I surely have. I've done that already.
Thank you. Thank you, girl. Thank you. Well, all right, y'all. You know what? We want to jump into it, but right now we're going to get our little DJ. We're going to get our DJ, and he's going to get this after work party started. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Mel
Show. Welcome back to the Every Woman Talk Show. Now, don't forget, if you want to call in and ask us a question, you can at 646-478-4507. So tonight's topic is a question that we all have to ask ourselves at some point. You know, what is the expiration date on your relationship? You know, when is it over and is it over? Jackie, you know, I got a scenario I want to throw out to you. You ready?
Okay, absolutely.
Okay, okay, here we go. Now, I don't know if y'all watch Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Oh,
do y'all?
Occasionally.
Okay.
I can only stomach so much.
Okay, okay. Well, you know, you may know where I'm going with this. So first, we're going to start with, you know, family relationships. You know, Candy and her mom. Candy is dating a man. She's about to marry him. She loves him. And her mom is acting a complete fool.
Ooh.
I think the mom is jealous and, you know, not talking to the guy, mistreating him. So the question is, you know, if you're married, if you're dating someone, and your mom doesn't like him too much, and she's acting a little off or a little over-possessive, let's just say, you know, how do you handle that relationship? Do you kick mom to the curb and you know, or what do you do? What do you do with mom?
I think the most impulsive thing is you love your mother. You absolutely love your mother, and you want to make your mother happy, and you want to try to strike some kind of balance. But at the end of the day, do you sacrifice making your mother happy for your own happiness?
Mm-hmm.
And if you know that this is, if you feel this is the person for you, and this is the person that's going to make you happy, that you want to spend the rest of your life with, you have to tell your mother, look, this is what works for me. You may or may not like it. I hope that you grow to like it. I hope that you guys can be in the same room and have a civil conversation. But at the end of the day, I have to do this work for me. And I've been in that situation, but in the reverse. In the reverse, where it was the guy's mother who was like, I don't like her, I can't stand her, I can't deal with her. You don't necessarily have to like me, but I will demand that you respect me. Just as I'm going to respect you. And that's all I'm looking for. You don't have to love me. You don't have to gush all over me. Just respect me. When I come in the room and I say hello, you can say hello. You don't have to say
hello.
Hey,
ladies, I'm back.
Hey, we missed
you.
Hi,
Julie. Jump right in.
I heard everything Jackie was saying. Go ahead.
Okay.
And so at the end of the day, you have to do what's best for you. I would never kick my mother to the curb, and as Uli can testify, my mother and I are extremely close. My mom is very overprotective, and there are days when she feels that I'm all hers and I'm supposed to spend all my time with her, but you know what? I have a life.
The difference between your mom, Jackie, and her mother is
her mother is
like that with everyone she dates, though. She did this with the guy that got killed. This is who her mother is. No one is good enough for her. She doesn't want to see you with anybody. And I think it's a thing of jealousy. Yeah, it's okay to have your mother's back and for your mother to have your back, but at some point you're a grown-ass woman and she needs to know when she lives her life. She lived her life. It's time for you to live yours. Whether you are doing the wrong thing or not, whether you're making a bad move or not, you got to make that move.
But how do you do that without hurting your mom's feelings, without killing her?
You know what? You know what? You might hurt her feelings, but she'll get over it. And at some point, if she's your mom and she loves you as much as you think she does, she'll come around. She may not like him. But she'll come. And you guys, your relationship will mend and it'll heal and you'll go from there. But you can't let somebody dictate your life.
Right.
Especially if that person is not trying to find a life of their own.
Right.
And that's the other thing with watching that part of the show is she wraps her whole life around her daughter, and she has a life of her own. Not necessarily having a man in her life, but even if she had some other things in her life, she would
better learn how to knit. She better go crochet or something.
No, she got to spend her money. But now, Sig, what do you think? What's your take on it?
Well, I'm so off the cuff. I don't watch reality shows. I wouldn't watch Real Housewife of anything. I don't think any of them are real or Housewife to nothing.
We love you.
That's just me. Okay. This is the other thing, and this is a big, huge thing. My mom passed away in 84. And if she was still living, my mom was that matriarch of the family, that powerhouse, that woman who people trembled when they walked in the room. I would put her in her place from the jump. Mommy, I love you. You had your life. You can't make this for me. You've got to let me have my life. You will not disrespect my husband. Is this not going to work that way? If you have a problem with us, then I'll see you when I see you. Because
your mother can't go on every journey with you.
Yeah.
You just
you're supposed to leave your parents and cleave unto your husband.
Absolutely.
So this whole thing about where I want to be overprotective and I want to do that, that is the expiration date comes into play with your mom. And I say this as a mother, and I know some of my kids are listening. Y'all know how I feel. You graduate from high school, I'm done with you. When you leave their house, expiration date in play right there. When you leave their house. Now, will you still meet mom? Of course. Is mom supposed to be there? Most definitely. Is mom supposed to respect the fact that, oh, my God, my kids are now adults? And that's the struggle, and I say that as a parent of some adult kids. That was a struggle for me to realize these fools are grown. I can't go in their house and tell them what to do.
Not
I
at all.
Want to, but I have to respect them. So for parents, understand your expiration date is when they leave your house. You can't control them.
Okay, but, you know, you say parents understand that, but how do you get them to understand that? Because there are some people that's really struggling with this. Do you sit down and have a conversation with them? Do you send them an email? Does it come to a big blow-up?
If you get crazy enough to send your parents an email, I hope they whoop you. I don't care how old you are.
I don't think it's an issue of them understanding. They don't have to understand. They have to respect it. You don't have to understand what I'm doing.
By your actions, too. Sometimes your actions as an adult will qualify for your parents to step back and say, you know what, damn, yes, he or she is an adult. Let me step back and mind my business. Because sometimes when you act, it's still ridiculous, and you're 33 and you're acting like you're 13, your parents tend to think that, you know what, you don't make good decisions.
But even in that case, it doesn't matter. If I want to jump off a bridge and I'm 75 or she 80 and 92, let me jump off the bridge because I'm grown now.
Well,
you have lived your life. The problem is this. You can't go down every journey with me. Every road that I go down, you can't come with me. There's a point where there's a dead end for you and I'm going to go the other way. And that's what they have to respect and understand. Period, point blank. They're not going to like it. They may not even understand it.
We got to set some boundaries. In other words, you got to set some boundaries early
on,
and you know. And it's, but is it okay? In that vein, is it okay to be like best friends with your mom, but then say, you know what, mom, I got to exclude you out of this part of my life.
She's excluding herself out. Yeah. You didn't exclude her. She did.
Hey, you can respect. First of all, as parents, you got to understand. You're going to tell them what to do. You're going to give them the guidelines or whatever, and they're going to go out and they're going to make these decisions that really piss you the hell off. You're going to want to shake the hell out of them. Especially when they go to college and they change their damn major on you. And you're looking at them like, what the hell are you talking about? You have to be okay with the fact that you taught them and now they're going to make their decisions. I told my kids they could make a decision you can live with and one that I won't kill you about. That does not include me choosing a spouse for you. Yeah, because, you know, when they were little, they do some dumb shit and I want to kill them. So that doesn't include you me telling you, oh, I don't like him or whatever. Have my kids dated people that I couldn't stand? Yes, my daughter dated this guy. I said nothing about it.
I ain't seen you in Louisville. She know. I see her in Louisville.
We hear
all I can say when they broke up was he was a little bitch and I didn't like him in the first place. I didn't put that on them.
But you
in
know
the
what?
Day,
I would rather have that moment, I told you so moment at the end, than to beat you over the head.
Okay.
You know, it's not I told you so moment because I never told her. You make your decisions. You've got to travel your road. But when it's over, I'm happy as hell. Thank God I'm done trying to be nice to him.
And after
you know,
that, what she's going to have to do.
Boundaries and respect. Boundaries and respect,
also,
it sounds like.
Also, too, it has to come from that person. If you see your parent is not going to do that, if you see your mother's not going to do that, then at some point you have to open your mouth and say something.
And say something. So being quiet is not going to do it. You got to have that. Because sometimes I do want to put my hands around Candy's throat, like say something. You know,
that's my problem.
But she's allowed it to go on so long that it's going to be very difficult for her to address it because she let it happen with the very first relationship she had that we saw, and now she's doing it again. So with Candy, it's a whole other story because she's going to need some therapy to get through that. So she needs to be able to warm it up. and say, this is what it is. So that's to all the women out there, not just for you, Candy. If you are listening on our line, honey, you got a woman up. But for all the women that's listening, we're just, you know, our advice on the expiration date is just to, you know, set some boundaries, set some good dialogue, mm-hmm. some guidelines, mm-hmm. and be a grown woman. Right, lady?
That's that whole communication thing that we tend to talk about all the time. If you don't like what's going on from your mother, talk to your mother, I don't like it. You know, you can't rule my life. I'm a grown person. Let me make my own decisions. Even if they're wrong, let me make my own decisions. Let me falter, and I'll figure it out.
But then also I have to say that it's not always easy to have that type of dialogue with mama, with the matriarch. It's not always easy.
That's the thing, okay? If you can dip your lips and tell me what I need to do, then you can have that conversation with me. If we're trying to be buddy-buddy and you're trying to give me advice, oh, here's your friend. Mama, shut up. You're not my friend. You're my mother.
Well, I don't think they give you the advice as being a friend. I think they give you advice as I'm the mother. You need to listen. And that's
okay.
Why you just
and
have to,
that's, you
know.
I'm the daughter and you're learning.
It becomes
a balance of trying to respect your mother and also have her respect you. Because I'm not going to tell my mama, shut up, but I am going to tell her, you know what, this has nothing to do with you.
Okay. All right. So now, ladies, and Uli, we're going to throw this one out to you. We're going to get into the romantic relationships, all right?
Why do you want to go there?
Because as women, you know, women, sister girls, you know, we get together and we talk. So, and you know, we always bring up the men at some point. So for our romantic relationships, you know, you got a man. You've invested your heart, your time, your money, your prayer, your patience. And for some of the Christian women, you've been fasting and praying and quoting scriptures and you know,
amen.
Believing and trusting God and all that good stuff. But, and it's always a but, when you get to the but, the relationship isn't growing the way that you need it to. So what do you do?
Well, it really depends on how much time you've invested in it. And when you say not going your way, what does that mean?
But the way you'd like to see it, and not to cut you off, sorry about that. But, you know, speaking of time, how much is too much time? You know,
For everybody is very different. You know, my thing is, if you are sitting down and you're speaking to whomever it is, she, he, whatever, and the conversations are redundant, then you have to have an expiration date. It has to be, well, you know what, we have talked about this and we're not going anywhere. And I have been through this. And you just have to, and I have not been the one that had an expiration date, and I set the expiration. I did. I let it linger and let it linger and let it linger because he's going to change. Oh, it's gonna change. This day, if I leave this day, it's gonna, I've done that. I've been that woman. I am not ashamed to say it. That's how love I was. But at some point, something happened where the expiration date came on its own. I didn't do it. But if I had to give advice to someone, I'd definitely say set some boundaries on your date. Set some boundaries on your understanding of where he is, where you are, and where the both of you are supposed to be going together. And if you're not on that same page, and you're not going to get on that same page, and you really, really feel it in your heart, you got to let it go.
Because how much sacrifice is too much sacrifice in hoping that somebody's going to get there? You know, sometimes we sit and we hope and we hope and we hope and we hope, so we put a new expiration date on. How many times do you replace the expiration date before you say, okay, this is just no more good?
I mean, we have done that, and then there's some successful relationships where you have given them that extra mile, and it has worked. But at some point, you as the individual have to know. You got to know.
But then why do we as women always want to give them that extra time? We want to give them that extra time.
Because we are the nurturing people in life. That's who we are. We do the same thing with our kids. How many times, if you jump on that bed one more time, we'll beat your butt. That's who we are. We're just a nurturing.
Okay.
That's just who we are as a species.
Excuse me. If you jump on that bed, I'm going to beat your ass. You just jump on that bed, I'm about to beat your ass. I'm not going to keep on saying that. I'm not giving
everybody's different.
Time.
Everybody's very different. And
so that was my point. We can't make it all encompassing. Everybody's not like that. Everybody, a lot of women are like, I'm walking. I'm about to go because you lost your last good one. And
that's
there's no
true.
No second chance, no nothing, no can we work this out? And she's like, you didn't throw it my way. Bye.
And that means at that point you've invested everything you wanted to invest in it. You didn't want to invest anything else in it, and you're done. And that's okay. That's who you are.
Because some women
also don't want to jump from man to man to man.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're okay with that, and they're okay with moving forward. I think the bigger question is that when we know, or when a woman knows that, you know what, this is done, why do we still hold on? When you're not growing.
Because you don't know. Because you don't know. You know in your brain.
I think sometimes we do. I think sometimes we do. And sometimes we don't let go is because we're afraid. I think.
But what are we afraid of, though?
Sometimes the fear of being alone. It's the fear of starting all over. It's the fear of, oh, my God, I've given this person all I have to give. What is it that I'm not doing right? A lot of times women put things on themselves when it's not their issue or it's not their fault. And then they want to question themselves. And a lot of us say, okay, well, maybe it's something that I've done. No, maybe it's just that individual. But you keep investing and you keep investing. And if you're not finding a return on your investment, then it's time to let that investment go.
Amen. Amen. Some investments just run out and just go
bankrupt.
Some investments are a bad investment. You got to know it.
Yes. Because, you know, exactly. It depends on the guy that you're investing in. If he, you know, you do have some guys, some situations where the situation may not progress the way you wanted to initially. And you may
that's
hit a bump
exactly
in the road.
What I said.
But that person may be good stock or, you know, good ground, mm-hmm. good ground to invest mm-hmm. in. And so,
exactly.
you know, situations like that, you know, you may take a break or you may say, you know what, okay, I'm going to give it a little bit more time, give it a little bit
mm-hmm.
more time. Give it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you got some joker that's just a joke, no, I think you need to cut that immediately.
And you
but,
know, mm-hmm. you know that. And that's what I mean about taking, and just like when you invest in the stock market, hopefully you do your homework before you buy a piece of stock that you know how it grows, how it's going. It's the same thing with a person. And if you see that this is not a good stock to invest in, you already know that. Why continue to waste your time and or your money?
Okay. But then also for some women that are, you know, older, of a certain age, and, you know, you tick, 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 the clock is ticking, and, you know, you have no husband, no mate, no prospective mate, no good mate. You know, you in church, you ain't found nobody up in church, ain't found nobody amongst your friends, you know, and, you know, in a church, you know, we're always taught, you know, women should not be looking because he's supposed to look and find us. But, again, you know, I'm up there in age, and I want to have babies, but there's no prospect, so I just kind of stay in the situation I'm in. So for the women that are of a certain age, you know.
That's that fear. Because now it's like, okay, I'm of a certain age. These are the things that I want. Maybe I need to just go ahead and just stay here and settle so I can try to get what I want. As opposed to stepping out on faith or stepping out on, you know what, I'm going to go on Match.com or whatever it is so that I can find what it is that I'm looking for or so I can run into whatever it is I'm looking for. Instead of staying put, knowing that this is not where you want to be. And I think that's the worst thing. When you know this doesn't work for you and you know it's not where you want to be and you continue to settle, then that hurts you more.
Okay. But now, okay, so Sig, we're going to talk percentages here. If it's not completely what you want, how much of it, of what you need, does the man have to have or does the relationship have to have? Can it be 70%? Can it be 80%, or does it have to be the full-blown 100%? This relationship meets all and every single one of my needs before I stamp it expired and throw it out.
Okay, part of the problem is I can't do percentages because I can't make a list. I'm not going to make a list of 10 things and say this man's got this, and this, and I'm going to go shop for this man like I do a pair of shoes. That's not going to happen. And that's part of the problem women have. And then they think, okay, well, even if I do have these standards, oh, are they too high? Hell no. Don't settle for it, because when you settle for it, you're not happy, and you're with us hanging out talking about what the hell is my expiration date. When it comes to relationships, you've got to say, he's attractive. Y'all have a conversation. You stop right there and take the time to get to know him, because if you say, I want a man 6'1", bald head, dark, and sexy as hell with a nice deep voice, hey, baby, shout out, then you...
Wow, where's he at?
That's Lamar Odom. Lamar Odom. That's him.
I'm back.
Nah, that's really my man. I just described. You
are
going to kill your possibilities. You may block a blessing, because if you go around saying, I want this, I want that, you just get serious about it, that man that may be interested in you that you keep overlooking, who's not quite 6 feet, he's 5'11", he can be 6 feet, is him.
Amen. Amen.
He's not going to approach you. because he feels like he's eliminated automatically. So part of the problem that women have is, oh, I got to have this and I got to have that. But you have never taken the time to get to know somebody because what they make, what you need, what God has in store for you, maybe within him, but you blocking your blessings and walking around the corner from him every single day. Get off your high horse, not lower your standards, but take the time to get to know somebody. Get to learn that person. To see if the two of you can grow together, then you won't have an expiration date. Because if you settle for, if you say, okay, he can do 80% and I'm good without my 20%, eventually if that 20% is important to you, that damn 20% is going to have an going to put expiration date on your relationship because it's going to eat at you and it's going to nag at you. And when you get to that point where you start saying, his smile ain't all that cute anyway. Don't put some lotion on his ashy ass feet. I'm going to cut them off.
Oh, my God, girl.
When you get to those points where everything about him
bothers you,
cute, and it was so sexy, and it turns you on, started to piss you off, dry you up, and make you want to slap him. Guess what,
you were settling in the first
your
place.
Damn expiration date.
Yes.
You're
absolutely right. Preach.
Now, since you mentioned blocking blessings and everything, you know, I wonder, is anybody even asking? You know, anybody even asking God, God, is this the mate? Is this the one for me? You know, that's nitty. That's how I tend to roll. You know, God, should I be with this one? Or God, is it time for me to make an exit? God, should I even be in it anyway? Or do, you know, or do women just think that's silly? Like, you know what, I'm going to just choose on my own or I'm going to end up with whatever. Because, you know, I've had the call.
And that's why they end up with whatever.
You know, I've had the tall, fine chocolate, and one worth the carpet I walk on. But then I've had the frogs underneath the rock and didn't always look the way I thought I wanted them to look and wasn't as tall and slim and Ray Allen-esque. I love Ray Allen. But those were the best ones, you know, the best ones. So anybody asking?
You know, if you go out and you say, oh, I have a type, and I have a friend tells me all the time, he says, you don't have a type. Hell no, I don't have a type. I have a moment. I have a preference for that moment. Before I met my man, if you were bald, I don't have nothing to do with you. I did not like a bald-headed man. Now I'm not too good about a man with hair on his damn head.
Right.
But I didn't go shopping for him. I didn't go looking for him. I left that up to God. I did me do what I was supposed to do with obedience to his word, and he showed up in my life and showed out in my life.
That's
what it is. You you can't give it to God and then go get on Match.com. You just took it back and he just go sit there and shake his hand and wait for you to finish playing. You know, you can't give it to God and then go get dressed and put on this little hoochie mama skirt and go to the club and then you get stuff for Ray Ray who don't have a home or a pot to piss in.
Amen.
You give
well,
it to God.
That's
you,
a question
you
I was about to say. Can we as women go to certain places expecting a certain type of man?
We can go to God expecting him to give us what we need.
Okay, and I totally wholeheartedly get that. But if you are saying that you want a guy who comes home every night, you want a guy who works hard, you want a guy who is going to treat you a certain kind of way, and, you know, you go out here and you meet up with Ray Ray, who you met Ray Ray in the street, Ray Ray is going to continue to run the street. But then you figure you can change Ray Ray, and you get mad at Ray Ray because Ray Ray is constantly running the street.
Okay, see, women, that's another thing, because that's what you cannot do.
Don't change anybody.
You
don't change
the shoes on your head. You can change your shoes. You can change your damn drawers. You cannot change a man.
You better change your body and change your lipstick and leave Ray Ray.
Yes, you can't figure, oh, I'll take Ray Ray the way he is, and I'll fix him up, and he'll be out. But guess what? Ray Ray was a damn fool when you met him. Ray Ray going to be a damn fool when he leaves you for a Boom Chica. Ray Ray is out to get his.
Absolutely. Yes. And I think sometimes we as women try to change people. It's like they have the physical makeup of what we want, and they may have said all the right things at the time, and they may have even done some of the right things at the time. But if this is how you met this person, why do you expect this person to become a 360 and now become this homebody and this other person that you've imagined all your life when that's not who they were in the first place?
Because, you know, we as women, we've been dreaming and fantasizing since little girls.
All our
lives. We've been dreaming and playing house and creating this and doing that. And so we're thinking, okay, if we just love him enough, then we can change him into that. But, you know what? speaking for myself, the some of those ones that, you know, are real faithful and coming home on time and loving you and taking care of the kids and kneeling and praying and believing God, those aren't always the ones wearing the Joseph A. Banks suits and driving the Benz. You know, your Boaz,
with the name tag on.
Hello, your Boaz may be on a bicycle right now.
Hello.
Or he may be in a car with it. The front headlight might be out for a little bit. But, you know, and ladies,
exactly.
Look past that. Look at his heart.
Yeah.
You know, see that
yeah.
man's heart and how he speaks to you and how he treats his kids and if he loves his God. You know, look at
yes.
that type
it's
of stuff.
It's that look in his eye when he looks at you. He looks at you like you're the end all, the be all. And if he's on that bicycle right now and he has character and he believes in God and he knows how to treat a woman, guess what? He'll get where he is. God will have him to be. The problem was, he wanted him to be with his woman while he took him there to give you guys a chance to grow together as opposed to growing apart. So that GPS man wearing them sexy brown shorts, if it look good to you, look good, and he delivered packages, guess what? He might have a very nice package, number one.
Hello.
Later on in life.
Praise the Lord.
Shorts, man. GPS, is that a requirement for hire? God help me. Anyway.
You know, what can Brown do for you?
Hello.
And I'm probably being around anyway. But the thing is, you've got to get to know a person of character, because brother man with the six digits, driving a Benz, living in that house, he's not all he's cracked up to be. He really looks for somebody to help him pay for all that. The car is leased, the house is rented, and the suit not his.
But, you know, also I got to say, you know, because, you know, I love the brothers, and, you know, my brother is out there listening, and we got some good brothers with the six figures, the fine suits and the nice homes and taking care of business at home. So shout out to all of y'all out there, because we got some good ones. But also I need to say, put it back on the ladies for a bit, because a lot of times we look and we expect a man to do this and him to look this way and have that, but we got to come to the table with a lot too. You know, we got to keep ourselves, you know, together and hot and a good and clean and pure heart and loving and speaking well. And, you know, we got to come to the table with a lot.
Well, just like you said earlier, a lot of times, you know, we've had this whole fantasy since we were kids, and, you know, it's kind of been done socially and whether it's by our parents or not, that some women are looking to be taken care of. And don't get me wrong, you know, there's a balance that goes with that. My husband took care of me. I appreciate that. But also, too, I can take care of myself. And I don't just mean financially. I mean in a lot of ways. What do you bring to the table? If you don't bring anything to the table, can you still have expectations?
Well, you know, women, we're
going to
have
not,
some
not
type
fair,
of fun,
not,
but
not in all fairness. You. That's right. You're right. Women want to say,
we love
bring it
thing.
All to the table. And all I'm bringing is nothing.
Exactly. You bring nothing.
You
get
nothing.
Exactly. And a lot of times, that's where we are, I think. And a lot of times, that's what our young women are getting. Oh, well, he needs to take care of you, and he needs to do this, and he needs to do that. Yeah, but guess what? When he decides he's going to walk out the door, what do you have? And I don't just mean physical property. You know, you don't know how to take care of yourself. Because you've never taken care of yourself. You've never been taught to take care of yourself. You've been taught since day one that someone is supposed to take care of you.
Right. And really, you need to be taking care of each other. But you guys, we're going to switch over to that workplace situation.
Mm,
and
girl,
is there an expiration date at the workplace situation? Now,
yes.
Let's just say, you know, you have an employee that's very, very, very sweet, very nice, and they really need a job, but they can't get the job done. Always messing up, coming in late, don't come at all, come when they want to.
Oh, why talk about it?
When do you pull the plug on it? I mean, you know, it's hot right now. It's right now. It's hot. No, not first time, but it's holiday season. You know, everybody's got to get some for their family. Can you pull the plug on somebody during holiday season, an employee?
Yes.
You can. I've seen it done.
Because you know what? I have policies and I have procedures. And if you work for me, I expect you to work for me. I can be very generous if you work and do your job. If you want to slack off on it and think, oh, she's going to, she ain't got no heart like that. You fuck up, you got to go. And whenever we run out of the policy procedures where you've had your verbal, your written, your one-day suspension, whatever the heck it is that we do, then guess what? If that just happens to land 2 days before your layaway payment is due, I hope you're getting the last check.
Damn, sick.
You have no mercy. You know, no mercy.
Before your layaway payment is due.
But now, okay,
you know,
so, but
no, listen. You know what? You want to know why it's no mercy? Because if you're not doing your job and I'm paying you to do a job, that means I'm hiring you and I expect you to do a portion of the job. And I only hire you because I need that job to be done. You're not doing your job. My business is not being taken care of. I am losing clients. Your ass is out the door. We're talking about my bottom line because I need my layaway to be paid for. I need my Jimmy Choo's on my feet, and I need to be able to drive whatever the hell I want to drive. And me having a slacker like you makes everybody else think if she can slack, I'm soaking hot, and you're going to let my firm fall apart? No hell.
She said layaway. She said layaway and slacker. But now, is it after what, the 30-day review, 60-day review, 90-day?
It's whatever
when
the policy
fired?
Is.
But I was
going to
say whatever the
policy is.
But there's the workplace. A lot of times, especially if you're sitting in that position of employer, you know there are written expiration dates. So after your third warning, that's your termination. You already know that you are at warning number two, or you've had warning number three. And that the policy and procedure states that if you have an infraction from this time to this time after you've already had that third warning, this is what's going to happen. So there can't be any surprise. I think sometimes when you have, and I've been there, been on both sides, when you have that personable individual who's so sweet and they're so kind and they are the nicest person and they bring you cookies every day and, yeah, but we got to separate professional from personal. Like you and I, if we still want to be cool outside of work, we can be cool outside of work. But
we
if you're not
do
doing the
tell
job,
where you got the cookies from? Where you been
if you're not doing
from?
The job, then you can't be floored when you lose the job. You can't be floored like, oh my God, I can't believe they did this. Well, yeah, if you look at your jacket, you've got 7 suspensions, you've got 9 warnings, you've got all of this, and they told you this is going to happen. And you still chose not to straighten up, then that's on you.
You
kind of put that expiration date on yourself.
Right.
But see,
people
me, you know,
assume that, like you said, before the holidays, people go, oh, no, you wouldn't dare do that before the holidays. The holidays, your birthday, your damn anniversary, whatever day, chopping block date fall on, you got to go.
But, you know, well, me, I can only speak for myself. There, I would be a little divided because I can be, you know, a woman and be emotional and my heart can get in it, and I guess you can just call it a sucker if you want sometimes. But, you know, I would have a little mercy and I'd have compassion and I'd probably give them a second chance. But then the business side of me is like, you're not producing, you got to go. There is no mercy. It's just win. So I think I would give them at least a 60 days, I guess, or 30 days. I mean, 90 days. You know?
Well,
okay,
again, if that's your policy, that's your expiration date. You've already
let's say this is it. You're the middle manager. You're the supervisor, and you report to somebody else. And then you have this person working for you because you have a heart. And thank God for the people that have a heart and have feelings and God treats you like me who are cut and dry and mean as hell. Okay, it becomes, and I'm telling you, either you get rid of my name or it's your ass. What's
so that's
me,
how
what
you were telling me.
No, because now you're the person that your supervisor is now telling you, if you don't
right.
get rid of that person, I'm now going to fire you. So now
yeah,
are you still divided?
Okay.
Are you
I
still
have
divided?
To now think of myself.
Exactly, because Christmas is coming and your layaway payment due Monday.
You know what? You with the layaway.
Like your kids like to eat. You want to cook
my
food
your
head.
You and the layaway. I mean, girl.
No,
but at
job,
the end of the day, you got
to
take
lost
care
the job and their layaway payment was due today. I paid the layaway payment for it, but it's a trip. It's just on my mind. I'm sorry.
Okay, so now let's switch it around. Say, for instance, you're the employee. You're at a job, and you've been in the same position for God knows how long. There's no growth. There's nowhere to go. There's nothing else to do. When do you say, and when you're feeling restless, you know, it's not like you're okay with this. When do you say, you know what, my time here is done. I need to find something else. As opposed to sitting there for 7 more years saying, you know what, I hate coming in here. There's
exactly.
nothing left for me to do. Oh, my God, I can't stand these people. I can't stand this job. Oh, there's nothing challenging here. When do you say, I'm going to step out on something different? When is the expiration date up for that?
You know how when you get a job and you're excited about it and you go, oh, I can't wait to go to work. You lay your clothes out, get up, and you're marching off to work that day? Every day. and you're excited about it, and you can't wait to see Aunt Minnie, and oh, my God,
right.
You know when inspiration is? When you wake up and you say, oh, hell, I got to go to work. You
yeah,
just get on my nerves. Many don't do her job. They're not trying to promote nobody. They ain't got no money. What you need to do is call in sick that day, update your resume, and start posting.
Right.
Yeah. That's, you know,
the expiration day has come.
Came and went.
And sometimes for some people, they find that, you know what, well, I can't really do that. It's a bad market. The economy is bad. It's not a whole lot of jobs out there. You know, my skills may not be up to par. Let me sit here a little while longer. And you wind up there another 2 years, 3 years. But you go
okay.
into this job begrudgingly every day.
You know what? You
when
do
you say,
bad,
I'm
you
not
pray.
Doing it anymore?
That's most of America. That's because
a lot
of people are doing that.
You wake up and you pray and you say, God, my work situation, we both know what that is. I'm on the verge of going postal on these people. I need my money. You know, it takes everything for me to walk out the door. I'm at the point where I don't care if I'm late. I need to put this in your hands. You need to help me with my job situation.
Yes. You know, I had a situation like that, and the very first day of the job, you know how people put up pictures at their desk and all those little knickknacks. I typed my letter of resignation the very first day and put it in a blank envelope and stuck it up on my task board. I had nothing hanging up, and people would say, well, wow, you have nothing at your desk, because I didn't want to form that attachment. So
exactly.
I should have known right then and there, like, you know what, Nate, this is the wrong job. You don't need to be
yeah.
here. But, of course, a sister has to eat and got to pay, you know, the rent and bills. And so I stayed. I stayed for 7 years too long. And
I
began
there right
to
now.
Resent.
I'm so in that exact same situation right now.
I began to resent the job. And you know,
yep.
one day, you know, I was like, Lord, I can't stand it. I hate it. And let me go. And, you know, please help me get out of here. And, you know, I ended up going. That year wasn't the way that I initially thought I was going to go, with a nice severance and all that type of stuff. But I ended up going, and not under the, you know, I wasn't fired, but I had to leave. You know, it just, the job began to make me sick, physically ill. So
sometimes the peace of mind is not in how you go, just that you go.
Yeah.
That you go, and it's so important. So I never should have even expiration date should have never been a question for me. Should have never went in and did it. The thing is, but most people don't have the luxury of finding something they want to do or they
exactly.
enjoy doing. You
a lot
need
of people
check.
Don't know what they want to do.
No.
And they
you
don't know
check.
What they're good at. And what happens is, and just like in everything else that we've already discussed this evening, it becomes that fear and that settling. And
yeah.
at some point, you know, for me, my spirit gets restless. I just become restless, and I'm like, okay, I want to do something different. I want to try something different. And like you said, they'll be like, damn, well, the rent needs to be paid, and my kid's tuition is due, and it's time to buy some books. And it's, you know, then we start to find excuses as to why we're not doing what we should be doing. Even if it's the prepping stages, like you said, getting your resume together, you know, getting it out there, seeing what kind of responses you get. I tell my clients all the time, go online and take that test of what color is your parachute. Figure out what you want to do and what you're good at.
But you know,
and then go forth.
But you know, from kindergarten, we're always raised from kindergarten to grow up and to get a job and to kind of not live check to check, but to get a job, to be an employee. We are
yes.
never encouraged, or we're never groomed as kids to be entrepreneurs and to think outside the box and to take risks. You know, we go to kindergarten through 12th grade, you graduate, okay, you go and get a job. When most people don't even know what they want to do. We've never, it's just go work for somebody, get a check, and get a 401k package. Not even a pension anymore, a guaranteed benefit. We got a 401k that may not be anything, you know, by the time we retire. So, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people don't have the luxury of doing something they want to do or even taking that time, but...
Now, just imagine the woman or the person who is at the expiration date with her family, the expiration date of her relationship, and the expiration date of her job all
yes.
simultaneously.
Yes.
What direction does she go in? What direction, what avenue does she address first to try to find some kind of balance? Because you got to figure she is living a life of frustration at every single turn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she's got to wait. Ladies, it's been a fantastic show tonight. You know, I'm so excited about the premiere of the Every Woman Talk Show. And tonight was our first show. Thank you to everybody. We know we have a lot of listeners out there. Thank you to everyone for calling and listening in. And, again, we just appreciate, you know, all the love and feedback. But right now we want to just get some closing thoughts on what you think tonight, ladies, about the expiration date. Uli, we're going to start off with you. You know, if you want to start off, you know, with family, if you want to start off with relationships or workplace, just give us some closing thoughts on what you think.
Oh, did we lose Uli?
All right, well, Jackie, you want to close it out for us? You want to give us your close?
Sure. I think in regards to all the avenues that we covered, I think we just need to be mindful as to when we know our expiration dates have come. We know. We have, as women, we are blessed with a sixth sense, and we know when enough is enough and when we can't move and we can't grow. Just pay attention to that. Be mindful of that. Understand that, you know what, you came into this situation a certain way, you can leave the situation and move forward to find something better. Don't stay past your expiration date.
Amen, amen, amen to that. What about you, Sig? What are your closing thoughts tonight?
Yeah, I agree. You know when the expiration date has come and it's time to go. For that woman that everything is falling apart and all expiration dates are now past due, you put your ducks in order, you do what you have to do, you make a plan, you pack your shit, and you go.
Yes, absolutely.
Because you know that God's not going to give you nothing that you can't handle, and you stand there past your expiration date, it's just you blocking your blessings.
Mm-hmm.
Your family's not in your corner, they want you to stay with Ray Ray. We know Ray Ray ain't worth 2 cents, and that job, girl, you can work so well, you can get a magic position.
And then you don't have to make landlord payment.
Yes, go make that landlord get. You know, you better get some money from Ray Ray and make that layaway payment.
Yeah. My thing is this. You're already miserable. If you're going to be miserable, you might as well be in a different situation where you can at least have some sort of inner peace. I think that is my biggest thing is in a relationship, if there is no peace in my home, I would rather be alone. I don't care what you bring to the table. If I'm committing financial suicide, which is what lots of people told me when I separated, when I put the keys in my door of my home by myself, I am okay. Yes, I may not have all the things you financially brought to the table, but when I kick my shoes off and I put them out of the way so I don't trip over them, I'm really okay. And whatever I have to struggle and get, I'll do that. But I'm at peace.
Amen. That's that. Uli, are you out there? Is she on the line? Uli, you there? No,
she may have
off blocked me. Okay. Well, for me, you know, the expiration date, I just sum it up as making a decision. And, you know, it may not always be the right decision at the right time, but as long as you make a decision and if you mess up, if you have a bump in the road, and, you know, as long as you come back and rectify that decision, if you make the wrong turn, get back on the road and try something else. Something's not working, try something else. In other words, don't stay stuck. Don't stay stagnant.
Keep moving.
You know, as long as you're moving, you're going to progress. You may hit a wall, a brick wall, but you know, just brush yourself off and go in another direction. If the relationship isn't working, you know, pray about it. I'm always going to advise everybody pray about something, everything, but pray about it and keep it moving. So on that note, you guys, we just again want to thank you for tuning into our show tonight. It was a fantastic premiere. Thank you for all the love and support that you've given us. And we just want to let you know that next Friday, December 20th, we want to see all of you out at the Southern Comfort Cafe as the whole World Shadow World family is having its holiday party with a very special Man Up Talk Show. Shout out to all the men from the Man Up Talk Show. So join us at the Southern Comfort Cafe at 501 Central Avenue in the wonderful city of Orange, New Jersey. And please bring an unwrapped toy for a boy or girl and help us celebrate the holiday season together. You guys, it's important about giving back. We got to give back, got to support. You know, the Bible always says, you know, you got to sow. God gives seed to the sower. So if you're not sowing anything, you don't get anything, okay? But we want everybody to get something.
Somebody
so until
you bless somebody else.
Amen to that. So until then, on behalf of Uli, Sig, Jackie, and myself, good night, God bless, and Merry Christmas. So let's say good night, ladies.
Good night.
Night, ladies.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thanks
everybody.
For tuning in.
Whatever you want, whatever you need, anything you want done, baby, I'll do it naturally. 'Cause I'm every woman, it's all in me.
Shadow, world, radio.